You know, a few months ago, my family moved from Edmond to Piedmont. About 2 months ago, we moved from Edmond to Piedmont. And I had it all worked out. Whenever somebody asked me where I was from, I could tell you exactly where I was. I had the whole story. I knew my address, knew everything like that. And it was kind of where I went through high school. My wife went through high school. It was just like that was kind of home base for us. But something weird started happening whenever we moved to Piedmont, because people didn't just stop asking me where I was from. And I would begin to answer, and then I realized I locked up and I didn't know. Yeah, where do you live? I live in Piedmont. And, okay, you sure about that? You lying to me? Why are you sweating? Yeah, what's your address? Hold on 1 second. Where did I put my phone? I didn't know my address. It was like the pressure was too much in the moment of that conversation for me to respond in a way that looked natural. Why? It's because when my address changed, my story didn't. And I still wanted to keep on going back to the old story because I was comfortable in that story. I knew who I was in that story. But whenever my address changed, everything changed with me. My whole expression, my whole point of view, my whole life was moved from one city to another. Now I had to come up with a new story. And I think as Christians and as people of God, we do the exact same thing, because somebody somewhere told us about Jesus, and when we came to the Lord and we bowed a knee to him, our address changed, our eternal destination changed, but we kept going back to the old story sometimes. You remember that? You remember that? Hey, who are you? Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, let's see here. I've been through a divorce. Let's see here. I've had some financial difficulty. Who are you? Well, hey, listen, there's been times in my life where I've really struggled with addiction. And we have these ingrained stories in who we are, so ingrained, in fact, that they become something about our identity instead of finishing the story. And I've got some news for you today. There's some people even in this room today that your identity has been fixated, has been locked in, and has been tied to an address, a home of the past, instead of moving forward to that new place that God is calling you to. And today I want you to stop identifying with the past and looking forward into the future that God is calling you to walk into boldly. Somebody say amen for that. Hey, listen, the better you help me preach, the better I preach. More amens, the faster I go. Amen. Let's bow your head and close with me today. Listen, our key text throughout this whole series is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is so important because watch this. Paul says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Somebody say a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, if you're like me, the question is not only, I get a new life, what? But what does that new life look like? The key word there is begun. Something has started. Something has taken place that has changed who I am, my identity, and now I'm something different. What does that look like? And that's what we're going to talk about today, because God gives us an example. Long before Paul wrote those words, he was working in the heart and the life of a young man named Simon. Simon was a simple fisherman. Simon struggled all of his life, apparently, with being very steady or very consistent. And as a matter of fact, we can see a picture of who Simon is, because Simon ended up being Peter. Simon wasn't educated like a religious leader. He wasn't polished. He wasn't consistent. In fact, if we're being honest, Simon often seemed like the guy who spoke first and thought second. I like Simon. Yet when Jesus looked at Simon, he saw something that Simon didn't see in himself. Jesus saw somebody that Simon wasn't. He saw Peter, who he's calling Simon to become. And I need somebody in here this morning to help you understand that Jesus, whenever he's calling you up out of the sin, up out of the hurt, up out of the pain, up out of the guilt, the condemnation, up out of the mistakes, about what somebody has spoken over your life, he is calling you up out of that and into a new identity in him. I need you to understand that you are more than your name. Turn to somebody and say, you are more than your name. Names are powerful, because names are usually the first thing about a person that we get to know, or the last thing about a person that we talk about, their name. Names carry importance, not just because it's something that we call somebody, but names end up being a story about who we were. If you don't believe me, ask somebody that his name, Johnny Edward Elliott IV. Oh my, that's a lot of Johnny Edward Elliott's. Yes, it's a conversation I have probably once or twice a week. Johnny Edward Elliott IV, this is interesting. Tell me more about it. Rather not, thank you. Why? It's not because I don't like, I love it. I love my heritage, but it's a long story. If you don't believe me, ask my son, Johnny Edward Elliott V. I love it. Because a name is more than just a name. It's a story behind that. And that's exactly who we are. We're stories. We're stories. The identity that you have been called, that you have, somebody has spoken over you, has become a story about you. Well, you're just not very smart, are you? Oh, what a failure. Man, this is ridiculous. You're so annoying. Man, there's nothing that you ever do that ends up turning out right. And we hear this over and over and over in our lives, and it's spoken over us. We begin to think that about ourselves. How many of you know that you don't, if you don't have any critics, you don't have to worry about it, because you can become your worst what? Critic. And you can begin to tell yourself a story that you will begin to believe. And how many of you know that you would wish that that story wasn't true, but because the reason that you believe it is because the story is actually true about you. Nobody knows you better than you. And you know every mistake that you've ever made. And if you're going to be honest with yourself, you're the hardest on you out of anybody out there, because you know all about it. You begin to believe all the stories that you tell yourself, because many of them are true. You begin to walk in that truth over and over again, and with each and every step, each and every story, each and every cycle that you play in your mind of that negative echo that you hear in the chambers of your heart, you begin to take on that identity of what you have called yourself. And for many people, that locks you up. You have identified with that so long that it is hard to think of yourself as anything different. But Jesus. Praise God, but Jesus. He called you something different. Think about the first time Jesus met Simon. Something remarkable happens. Andrew brings his brother Simon to Jesus. And we see this in John 1:42. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Think about that. He didn't do anything. He just showed up. And his name got changed. Why? Why, Jesus, would you change? I don't even know your last name. I didn't know it was Christ. You Bible scholars out there are laughing at that. But you changed my name the first time that we met. How many of you people knew that Jesus changed your name the first time that you met him? Praise God. I grew up singing, I've got a new name written down in glory, and it is mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And I want you to know that when you meet Jesus, he gives you a new name. And Simon's name was Peter, the Rock. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to be called the Rock. No, nobody wants to call me the Rock, though. I'm not big enough to be called the Rock. That'd just be a joke. Hey, you want to meet my pastor, the Rock? Sure. Hey, awesome. Oh. How disappointing. But it's fascinating because if you know Peter, you understand that he is not anything like what the name the Rock would denote. He speaks before he thinks. He fails sometimes. Sometimes he goes between ultra courageous and ultra fearful. You wouldn't think of him as being the preacher at Pentecost. You wouldn't think of him as being a disciple or a follower of Christ. You wouldn't think of him as being consistent. But what's important is that whenever Jesus calls you by name, he's not calling who you were. He's not calling you who you are. He is calling you into what he has called you and created you to be. It's an identity with him. This is one of the ways that the gospel is different from every other place in every other world system. Every other world system, every other religion says that if you change your behavior, begin to act a certain way, then you can become that. But whenever you come to Christ, it is completely different. Christ doesn't demand us to change our behavior and clean up and begin to act right in order for us to be called his child. He sees us and we come to him as we are, filthy, ragged, messed up, sinful, dirty. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We're so bad, we don't even know how bad we are. And he calls us by a new name and he says, you are my child. You I love. You I want. You I want to redeem. I want to pick you up out of that miry clay. I want to set your feet on top of that rock. I want to clean you. I want to put garments on you. I want to bring you into my household because you're going to be with me forever. That's the gospel. And it is different than any other religion out there. Think about every text, about our key text. Paul doesn't say, if anyone behaves perfectly and becomes a new, he will become a new creation. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he will be a new creation. The transformation is not done by us. We first receive a new identity, and then the transformation begins through Christ in us. How many of you know that whenever Christ Jesus comes into our hearts and our lives, it's not a renovation project. It's not just new paint on the walls. It's not a few structural fixes. It is a demolishing of who we are. The old way, the old person, the old creation is gone. And a new creation stands in its place. I am so thankful that whenever I found Jesus, I didn't become the best version of myself. Because I wasn't any good to start with. If you don't believe me, ask my mom and dad. Spanking me every day of my life, I tell you what. But when Jesus comes in my life, he changes everything. He changes everything. And that's how God works in our lives. The Christian life is not about trying to become someone who God will accept. The Christian life is about living in the fact that God has accepted us. But I want you to know that he loves you so much that when you come to him, he will take you as you are. But he loves you more than you could ever imagine, and he will not allow you to stay the same. That's where that transformation comes in our lives. That's why whenever you come to Jesus, you can come to him as an addict. You can come to him as an alcoholic. You can come to him as a liar, a cheater. You can come to him as somebody that manipulates or gossips. You can come to him with all these problems and all this sin and all these chains. And he accepts you right where you are. And every time, though, that whenever you come to Jesus, every time that you come to Jesus, he reminds you of who he's calling you to be. He calls you by a new name. He says, you're my child. You're no longer an addict. You're no longer alcoholic. You're no longer a liar, a cheater. You're no longer this or that. I am calling you up out of that. I've given you a new name. But so many people find themselves answering to the old names out there. Every time you answer to the old name, you're allowing your past to speak louder than our Savior. Would you just listen to Jesus more than you would listen to yourself? Would you believe what Jesus says about you more than what you would believe yourself about you? Well, why, Pastor? I know myself pretty good. Yeah, you know the old self. You got the blueprint to the old plans. But he's created you to be something new. Why don't you learn what he says about you now? Because you don't have to be like that anymore. He's calling you to be somebody new. Some of you have spent years answering to the old identity, to the old wounds, to the old self, to the old failures and regrets, to the old past decisions. But you need to answer to a new name in Jesus Christ. You're also more than your failure. Turn to somebody and say, I'm more than my failure. Sports can be incredibly cruel sometimes. On January 27th, 1991, there was a Super Bowl game being played. Anybody like Super Bowl? More and more not, really. But the truth is that Super Bowl 25, we had the Buffalo Bills playing the New York Giants, and it was down to 8 seconds, and 1 point separated the team. They sent the kicker on. This kicker had already helped to get them to the Super Bowl. This kicker, his name, Scott Norwood. The Bills are excited because they have the opportunity to lock in and overcome, be the winners. But if they don't make this kick, they're going to be the losers. They're going to walk away. Scott Norwood steps up. There's a snap. The snap is good. He comes off the kick. And everything moves in slow motion. And you heard the announcer shout out, wide right. They lost the Super Bowl that year. And from then on, Scott Norwood, regardless of his wonderful stats as a kicker, 75% of all of his kicks went in. He even went to help him on next year to get to the playoffs and all these things. Scott Norwood, for the rest of his career, was known as wide right. Wide right. And but before we're so hard on them, how many of you know that we can take on the names of our failure sometimes? And that's what Peter did, or what at least the temptation was, because Peter had a wide right moment on the worst night of his life. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer over you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when, somebody say when, you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. See, Jesus warned Peter that there was a test coming, that there was something happening. And on the night of his crucifixion, this news came to him, and it must have stunned him, because in his mind he had made up the fact that he was going to, that no matter who would leave him, he would stay right next to Jesus. But as you and I both know, that as the night began to unfold and everything began to happen, all of a sudden the question came, I think you're one of them. I don't know who you're talking about, little girl. I think I've seen you with him before. I don't know him. On the third time, you know Jesus. And Simon Peter curses and says, I don't know who you're talking about. A couple things from the text I think that we need to understand is this. Look what Jesus calls Peter in verse 31. He calls him Peter all the time until he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has to sift you. Jesus recognizes this, that Satan's going to come in that old way, that to that old name, to that old place in who you are, and try to call that out again. But Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is upholding you. Jesus is encouraging you. And watch this. When we get to Luke chapter 22, verse 60 through 62, but Peter said, man, I don't know who you're talking about. We go back all the way down to 61. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Anybody ever have one of those moments before? You promised yourself you wouldn't do something. You promised to the Lord you would never leave him. You promised to the Lord you would never go back to a time where you didn't know him. And then all of a sudden something happens and you do. And Jesus's words flash in front of your eyes, in front of your mind. And you are bitterly, bitterly weeping because you know that you betrayed Jesus in some way. You've gone back to the old you. You've gone back to the old thing. You've gone back to the old addiction or the old relationship, and you don't know what you are going to do with yourself. I want you to understand that Simon could have stayed in that courtyard for the rest of his life, repeating over and over again his mistake. And many of us do as Christians. We go back to that old place. If I could just change something, if I could just do it differently, I would have been somebody. I would have served the Lord, and this all wouldn't have happened over and over and over again. But what amazes me about Peter's story isn't that he failed. I'm not amazed that Peter failed. But what amazes me is that Jesus knew that he was going to fail and still loved him and called him Peter anyway. You see, somebody, I need you to understand this, is that Jesus understands who we are. He understands not just who he's called us to be, but what our weaknesses are, what our points of failures are. And he loved you in spite of those. He's not up there in heaven trying to make up his mind if he's going to forgive you this time. He already knew it. He knew that you were going to fail. But he loves you in spite of it. And watch this. He knew that Peter was going to fail. And he said, before anything happened, before even the failure occurred, he said, he was planning restoration and ministry after, because he said, when you repent and turn back to me, strengthen your brothers. How many of you know that failure is not the end of the story? It's only a chapter. And there's some people out here that it just keeps reading the same chapter, refusing to turn the page, because when you repent and when you come back to Jesus, he's got more ministry for you to do. Some people need to repent and come back to Jesus, and he's waiting for you to read the next page. Would you repent and come back to Jesus? Because there's more for you to do. What failure have you been living in? What season of your life have you been going over and over and over in your mind? Somebody needs to be delivered, not from a demon, but from the past. He has changed your address. Stop living back at that old place. You have been evicted from a life of sin. The locks are changed. Quit knocking on sin's door. You need to go on. I know. Finally, I want to share with you this. You're more than your past. You're more than your past. Have you ever heard somebody tell stories about when they were in high school? Oh, right? Sometimes they were, that's the best story. Sometimes it's the worst stories, but it's obvious that their life stopped in high school because that was the apex of their life. And I think sometimes we get stuck in the past too, because the bottom line is, whether it was the best time of your life or the worst time of your life, you are stuck in that place in your life. And some people, some Christians are stuck in that time of your life spiritually, not as high school students, but in the best spiritual moments or the worst spiritual moments, but you're stuck nonetheless. Some people say, well, I was a Sunday school teacher back in 19, stop. If you say 19 before anything, it's been too long. What are you doing lately? Because your spiritual life didn't stop in 19. As a matter of fact, your spiritual life didn't stop Saturday the 6th. Each and every day new. Each and every day something. You still have life in your body. You still have breath in your lungs, and the gospel still needs to go out, and the Great Commission isn't finished. What are you doing for them lately? Let's not live in the past. The worst mistakes or the best successes is yesterday's news. Let's not go quietly. Let's go loud. Let's go proud. Let's go and advance the gospel to the least, the last, the lost. And how many of you know that sometimes the least and the last and the lost is a bedroom at your very own home? It's the cubicle right next to you. It's on the other side of the pump. And here you are. God has given you a story to tell, and he's given you a new name. Start responding with your new name. Start telling the story and allow God to use you how only he can use you. It's your name, not my name. It's your story, not my story. And it's your calling and not my calling. I'm going to live my calling out. I want you to live your calling out. So in this place, there's three kinds of people in this room. The first kind of person in this room is a person that has not yet moved addresses. You are still living in that sinful home that you've built for yourself, still struggling with the same addiction, still dealing with these things. It doesn't matter how long you've been to church. Church is not the thing. It's not the thing that's going to take you to heaven. It's Jesus and Jesus only. By his grace, by his blood, by his act of redemption at work in your life, are you going to get to go to heaven? Christ's legacy only presents that to you. Sitting in the chairs doesn't. So if you have Jesus in your heart, then something is different. You're a new creation. There's some people in here that may not have ever been a new creation yet. But then there's another group of people in this room that, like Peter, you have been answering to Simon. Like, your name has been victorious, it's been called to be victorious, but you're still answering a failure. You used to be called compassionate, but you forgot the name that God has given you. And you go by anger now. And we've forgotten the names that Jesus has given us. And we're going by the old name. But then there's a third group of people in this room. There's a group of people in this room that perhaps you know your name and you've been living in it, but you've been living in past success and you haven't been walking in future ministry. How many of you know that Jesus still has a ministry for you to do? He's not done with you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how sanctified you are. Nobody's too sanctified to go serve in a nursery. If you want to meet Jesus, go work in that nursery. You'll fall on your knees and ask the Lord for his help. Nobody's too good to work mega sports camp. Pastor John, I have two left feet. Well, take your two left feet out there. Nobody is too good to do church under a bridge. How many of you know, if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, I would need church under the bridge. God has put a testimony in your heart, and you better not stop it until he calls you home. Would you stand with me all over this place? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move in and through us right now, that you would call people that don't have a new name written in glory, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, that you would deliver people from their past mistakes and failures. And Lord, help them to find their identity in you and what you've called over them, what you've spoken over them. And Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that we would be connected, Lord, with the mission and the vision, not of just simply Christ's legacy, but the mission and the vision of what you've given me, the vision, what you've given them, what the mission and the vision of who they are as individuals in you and your family. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in the testimony that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, he hasn't redeemed you. He hasn't set you free. He hasn't given you a new name yet. All you are is your identity that somebody else has spoken over you. If that's you and you want a new identity, if you want a new name written down in glory, you want a new address, that's you. Raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you this morning. Raise your hand all over this place. Come on, I'm looking. Yes, I see you. I'm looking all over this place right now. This is the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. You want a new name in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the individual that has raised their hand, Lord. I pray, God, that you would move mightily in their heart right now. As you come in, Lord, make yourself the Lord of their life, Lord. Forgive them of their sins, and Lord, give them a new name written in glory. Lord, I pray, God, that as such, Lord Jesus, that they would walk in love and forgiveness and that new identity. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for this life over here? Wow, praise God. Some of y'all have been responding to different names. It's the wrong name. Stop turning and looking whenever somebody calls, hey, sinner. Because you've been saved by grace. Quit trying to live in a story somebody's tried to redeem you out of. Come on, somebody. You have a redeemed story. So don't live in the past and walk in the ministry and the vision that God has given you. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. pray a prayer of blessing over each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for each and every person within the sound of my voice, those joining us online, Lord Jesus, and for your church. I pray, God, right now, a blessing over their life, Lord, that as they walk in the identity that you have given them, Lord, that they would see power come out of that, because the power didn't reside into them themselves, but it's because you inside of them. And so I pray, Lord, that when they speak boldly, Lord Jesus, and they speak your word, and they speak life, Lord Jesus, and they see transformation all around them in hearts and lives because of the activity and the work that you're doing in them and through them. And we pray these things in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's boldly walk into our community.